This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Another twist, another major turn in the case of Richard Allen and the accusations of him being the Delphi murderer. Delphi murderer suspect's defense now claiming that key evidence destroyed. Another request to have the charges dropped. The evidence that was destroyed, video and audio recordings of possible suspects in the killings of Abby Williams and Libby German. Erased. Yes. Allen's attorney filed that motion Wednesday asking that the charges be dismissed because of the destruction of the video and audio recordings. The Indiana Supreme Court unanimously, obviously, already denying the defendant's previous request on January 18th of 2024 to disqualify Judge Gull. That's the other big point. That's what I thought we were going to be talking about today. But this new motion coming out, and it's really quite shocking. They're saying that, I believe this is like literally what the computer said that held this information, due to a DVR program error discovered 9/20/17, all recordings up to February 20th, 2017 were recorded over, and there's no detectable audio found on this driver. The erasing amounts to destroying the audio or video recordings made in interviews during the first week of investigation, obviously the most important time after the two Delphi teenagers were killed in 2017. And the recordings, they were of two individuals that were, in fact, also, the word comes back, Odinists. And the recordings are gone. Eric Faddis, attorney, joining me to discuss, and you're learning about this at the same time I'm telling you about this. How key of evidence could this be? I mean, I guess anyone could easily say this is potentially exonerating evidence. Potentially. We don't know exactly what was on there because it does not exist. But these are people who were suspects. These are people who play into the Odinist theory, if you will. And that material is not around anymore.
You know, how many wacky curveballs can a case possibly have?
I know.
This is so absurd. You know, in looking at it, I think it's a huge development because as defense, you always, you're required to look into whether there's an alternative suspect. Mm-hmm. And if the police already did that, and then, oh, lo and behold, the recordings of those interviews are gone, the defense should be crying afoul on this and absolutely filing a motion to dismiss. Now, with those interviews, I imagine there might have been a written report that the police did summarizing them, but those reports don't always include everything. I know as a defense attorney, you've got to go comb through the audio and video of the interview to see what the police left out. Here, the fact that those videos and audios are gone, I think gives rise to what's called a spoliation issue, whereby defense, if the case is not dismissed, the jury should at least be instructed that the destruction of that video and audio can give rise to an adverse interest inference against the prosecution. They should be able to hold it against the prosecution at any future trial.
I'm always shocked when things like this happen, of evidence is destroyed. I mean, on my own personal computers, I store like everything I've done. It's all there. Things don't easily get destroyed. And something like this that's so high profile, something like this that's so important, people's lives literally hang in the balance. Why aren't these things backed up? Why aren't there other places where this would be, where if a drive goes haywire, that they couldn't find it somewhere else? It just all seems far too convenient. And I am not a conspiracy theorist, but it seems all too convenient that any place anyone wants to look other than Richard Allen for possible exonerating evidence, there's some reason why we can't go there. We can't have the Franks hearing anymore, even though that was originally set up, but then destroyed by Gull. We can't go back and look at this evidence because, oh, it just happens to be gone. We're not going to look closer. Like I said, we back with the Franks of looking specifically at how they actually came to charging Richard Allen several years after he already raised his hand and said, yeah, I was there, guys. How can I help? It's just all seemingly too convenient. Either this is like the guy with the worst luck on the planet, or there's a conspiracy against him to charge him with this crime. And I don't know that it necessarily goes to the lengths of Odinism and things of that nature, but they need a fall guy, it seems, and they're hell-bent on not being wrong that this is their guy.
Totally. And, you know, if the government did not want to encourage and support these conspiracy theories, that they're doing everything wrong. It seems like every misstep that they are making only lends credence to some of these theories that people are discussing in terms of Richard Allen not getting a fair shake here. The Constitution requires that he be able to investigate his own innocence. And that includes learning of alternative suspects and what they said to police. Yeah. Now, the authorities are saying, too bad, Richard. Sorry, you can't do that. I think it's a big problem.
Is this enough to dismiss it? Is this, I mean, obviously we're dealing with Gull here as well as of right now. And I mean, on those grounds alone, is this enough to dismiss a case? I'm going to ask that question first.
I tend to think no. I tend to think it doesn't rise to the level of dismissing a double homicide case where two children were murdered. But I think there are other options.
Would this, at the very least, allow them to now finally have the Franks hearing? Should this be enough to go, look, you guys screwed this up in so many ways. We have to take a look at it in that sort of light. Again, it's up to Gull if they're going to do that, though.
Absolutely. And I haven't seen the arrest warrant for Richard Allen in this case, but that's usually what a Franks hearing centers on.
Yeah.
Is does the warrant have accurate information and does it leave out materially exculpatory information that helps Richard? If that warrant does not include mention of these potential alternative suspects, I think the Franks hearing is absolutely warranted. And the judge, when they got the warrant, might not have had enough information on which to make a decision to issue an arrest warrant for Richard Allen. Maybe if the judge knew about the alternative suspects, the judge would have done something different. So all of those things would be discussed at a Franks hearing.
And that's what I wonder about this case. I mean, it goes really dark and deep, but is it really all that dark and deep? Is this really just this small little system here in Delphi trying to cover their ass for something that they screwed up? And it was just, it was a small screw up, but a big screw up because it resulted in Richard Allen being arrested and all this attention being put on them. And if they're at fault for arresting the wrong guy and literally just destroying him mentally and physically for the last several years in prison, they probably don't want that on them. It probably is going to result in a massive lawsuit. And he's probably better dead than him being able to sue, although the family could, I'm sure, sue. But the fact that everything that we've seen of just trying to keep him quiet and to break him down, again, it plays into the conspiracy, but is this an out? Is this, I mean, I guess time will tell. Could this be an out for Delphi and the prosecutors and the police and all of that there of, oh, we lost the tape. The tape is bad. I guess we're going to have to dismiss the charges without having to raise their hands and say, yes, we fucked up left and right over here. We're going to blame it on a DVR going bad rather than ourselves and try to quietly bow out. That's what I'm wondering.
Well, you know, I don't think the DVR is going to be on the hook for millions of dollars for wrongful prosecution,
no.
But I think the prosecutors certainly still can.
Yeah.
I think that this is not something they can sweep under the rug. And if it does result in a determination that Richard Allen was wrongfully prosecuted, we're talking millions upon millions, additional controversy, additional discovery in the civil case, which could yield even more revelations like the ones we're talking about today.
It makes you wonder, I mean, if we do go down that road, because it seems like it could be a very real possibility. Because ultimately just trying to get to justice here and trying to find the killer of these two little girls, it makes you wonder that maybe if they dig deep, if we were to go down that road, maybe that could actually lead us to who did kill these kids if in fact it was not Richard Allen.
Yeah, great point that, you know, really erring on the side of more information rather than less usually helps us get to the truth more quickly and more accurately. The fact that the prosecution has been sort of keeping things close to the vest, it raises some red flags. Now we have this destruction of evidence issue. And I think, like you said, in the civil case, if there is one, and if Richard Allen was actually wrongfully prosecuted, that could truly lead to more information about the Odinism thing, more potentially, who knows, more information about just how this case was handled and why we're at where we're at currently.
Maybe truth will rise to the top through all this chaos and, you know, possible lies and mishandling. Maybe still through all of that, this is the doorway to get there. Who knows? Time will tell.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something. But this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.